Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
In this wide world of sports, some stories can slip through the cracks.
Now, before we do this, let's go over the ground rules.
Pelican Brewing presents The Daily Ticker, where Dirt and Sprague visit with the insiders that are covering the stories you've heard about and some you haven't.
How'd you do that? Actually, I'm not even mad. It's amazing.
The Daily Ticker with Dirt and Sprague is brought to you by Pelican Brewing, born at the beach.
All right, Daily Ticker time here on a Thursday, brought to you in the fan by Pelican Brewing Company, born at the beach, online at pelicanbrewing.com. And the Portland Winterhawks have been a great story all season long, and they're in the postseason right now. Second round of the playoffs, taking on their rival from up north, the Seattle Thunderbirds. For those of you who have been watching, you know how good this team has been playing. They hold a 2-1 series lead, two wins away from potentially going to the conference finals. And we thought, you know what? Sprague's gone. He usually doesn't let us talk hockey on the show. Screw it. That dude's gone. We're talking some hockey today. And joining us now is my good buddy from the Portland Winterhawks podcast, by the way, which new episode will be out later today. So go check that out. Nick Merrick, the voice of the Hawks, at Nicholas Merrick on Twitter. Good morning, buddy. Did you get any sleep last night? That was kind of a late one.
Good morning. Good morning. I did. It was a great game three at the BMC. Hawks fans really showed out really well there for that game. Unfortunately, the game didn't go the way, you know, the team wanted to, but it's okay. The Hawks still have a 2-0 series lead going to Seattle. Actually, later today, they're going to take the drive up and play game four tomorrow on Friday. But playoff time, it's funny. It's always that restless sort of attitude, because you're just thinking about the game. You get the adrenaline going after some big, big playoff games. And then you just kind of focus in on what's ahead. And it's going to be a very interesting schedule here where, if Seattle wins some games, if Portland can win some games, you could end up playing 4 hockey games in the next 5 nights. So that's what the playoffs are all about. And it's just been a great atmosphere to be around.
Well, let's focus on the positive before we get to the game last night, because I know they did lose last night, the first time they've lost so far in the postseason. The positive, though, I mean, this team, for those who don't know, they were supposed to have home ice in this series, but they had to play game one on the road in Seattle because Lewis and Clark was having their graduation at the BMC. And hey, you rent out the building, there's nothing you can do. You got to go on the road. But they were able to win game one in Seattle, then came back and won game two in Portland. So they were able to overcome that early adversity. What did you make of the first two wins? I mean, scoring a late goal from Clay Hannes in the third period, they're on the road in Seattle, and then getting a shorty, something that this team has not done very well, shorthand a goal in game two. What did you make of the resiliency and the way they found a way to kind of scrap it out late in the first two games of the series?
It's exactly that, Dirt. This team's been a resilient bunch all season long. Entering the playoffs, they had a 6-game winning streak, not losing in April, and that was the first loss the Winterhawks had since March 28th. So it's been a really winning team, especially lately, and they've done so in a variety of ways. They've gotten some big wins in terms of their goal scoring. They've shut things down defensively in front of one of the top goaltenders in the Western League, Taylor Gauthier. He's a signed player with the Pittsburgh Penguins. So as we're watching the Stanley Cup playoffs and seeing the Pittsburgh New York Rangers series, you get glimpses of thinking, well, Taylor Gauthier might be in that situation in a few years. And he's doing really well. He's been outstanding. He's been the team's best player. The problem is right now, you just got to find a way to put the puck in the back of the net. Team couldn't find a way to generate much offense yesterday. They had some great scoring chances. They ran into a hot goalie in game three. But ultimately, it's funny how it shakes up, because when seeing the interesting format, the Hawks stole that first game on the road in which they earned home ice. So they still have the majority of the home games moving forward in the series. But, Friday night's game in Kent's going to be a big one, because if the team could pull away with a win, you go up 3-1, you'd have the luxury of having 2 of the remaining 3 games on home ice, one of which would be a Saturday night game, which I can't even imagine thinking about here in the Rose City. So, it's exciting. It's cool to be a part of these things, and the team's been winning. So you just hope they can continue this run. And I have full confidence from seeing how resilient this bunch has been from, you know, giving up a couple of big goals. They make recoveries really well. They're able to kind of hit the film, you know, readjust, reassess, and get back to it, because there's no sense of panic in this team. That's the one thing that, you know, I'm sure the Hawks fans who did attend Game 3 maybe a little frustrated at what was going on. But, you know, at the end of the day, this team's been here before. They've gone through those ups and downs. They know how to handle it. So I don't have much worry there in terms of the Hawks responding and getting a nice rebound game here on Friday into our weekend. But, you know, we'll see.
Yeah, that Game 5 Saturday night is going to be an awesome scene no matter what. Even if, you know, no matter what happens in Game 4, you got a chance either to close it out on home ice, or it's a tied 2-2 series with a pivotal Game 5 on home ice for the 3-2 series lead. So that one's going to be a lot of fun Saturday night at the VMC. And it was one of those, I'm going to that game, and I've got some buddies I'm going with, and I'm like, hey, we got to wait and see if they lose a game first, because they're up 2-0. It might not be a Game 5. So part of me, selfishly, I'm not going to lie, kind of happy they lost last night, because I've been looking forward to going to Game 5. So now at least I know I'm guaranteed to go to a game. Now we just need them to win on Friday night so I can go have some fun. You mentioned overcoming adversity. I think it's a great lesson for folks who, and anybody who knows hockey knows this, but there's going to be ebbs and flows throughout the course of a series. There's going to be good nights. There's going to be bad nights. You know, nobody ever cakewalks their way to a championship. What was it last night? Was it just an off night with the puck, that, you know, possession? Was it just missing the net? Was it you highlighted Milic, who was a hot goaltender, combination of all of them? I mean, a 5-0 loss. How do you try and encapsulate just kind of what went wrong for him last night?
I think it's probably a combination of a few things. Obviously, in Game 3 with Seattle down 2-0, and because of the interesting format that we just talked about, they had to play Games 2 and Games 3 in Portland. So already down 2-0, if you lose Game 3, which was last night, then all of a sudden you're going to be down 3-0. And we know in sports history, it is very hard to beat a team 14, you know, four times in a row to come back into a series and turn a 3-0 deficit to a 4-3 series win. So last night was a must-win game for Seattle. You know, and the team knew they were going to kind of come out hard. So I think that factored in where there was the extra intensity from Seattle. I think they set the tone in the first period and they carried it through, where we've seen them kind of peter off with the Winterhawks making adjustments. But they were aggressive. They were aggressive on the Hawks sticks. You know, they didn't really allow much room in neutral ice. They were really good there of putting pressure back in the defensive zone of Portland. So whenever the Hawks had the, you know, had the puck to get a reset and try to start their, you know, the transitional play, there wasn't much ice there. You know, it was hard to find the available ice. Special teams play has been a big factor in this series already. The team that's won that department in all three games has come away with the win. But, you know, the Hawks had their chances. Like, as much as it's, you know, of course, it's frustrating when a team suffers a tough loss in a playoff game. But, you know, there was about, I would say, 3-4 quality scoring chances there for Portland in the first 50 minutes of the game. So if any one of those would have gone in, could have changed the dynamic. Mm-hmm. And obviously Thomas Milic was on top of this game. He's the goaltender for Seattle. It's just like Taylor Gauthier has been on fire for Portland in the Winterhawks net. But you kind of look through it and you say, okay, this team back in the fall, you know, wasn't even expected to be here. It was a team that was below 500. You know, then all of a sudden they went on this massive, massive run where I think it was, they won 32 of 38 games, you know, to put themselves in this position. So they've handled those losing days, and it's a younger team. So for the true fans that know it, they're always around the Winterhawks, they understand this, but maybe for some of the more casual Portland sports fan, there's some young players here. There's some 17, 18-year-olds who are going to be really quality stars here with the Winterhawks for the next 2 or 3 years. But it's their first real taste of the playoffs because of COVID. You know, they didn't get a chance to play in any big time games last year because it was more of a shortened bubble season. You know, where they'd be playing, everyone would kind of confine into the locker rooms. So they would try to keep their group small so they could continue to play hockey, which means that there was some traveling, but, you know, we weren't playing teams in British Columbia. They weren't playing teams out east. It was just U.S. division, and it was only 24 games. So those guys took a little bit longer to develop and kind of get into a groove because of the situation they were put in, but they've handled it so well. And one thing that we found is this team, when their back's against the wall, they'll just find a way to come through. And of course, you're going to leave it with the bad taste in your mouth. But as much as I'm saying Game 3, you got to marvel at the fact the team just went on a 12-game winning streak. You know, so in a weird way, they've been playing good. But then also, from my perspective, this team hasn't even been playing in the last, you know, seven playoff games. They haven't been playing their best hockey that we saw at the end of the regular season. So to think that this team has played 7 playoff games and they've won 6 of them and they're not even playing their best, that's what makes the Winterhawks so dangerous. They've kind of found a way to win these tight games, these 2-1 games, these 3-2 games, and just find a way to score and will your way through even when you aren't at the top of your game. So I'm hoping it'll be a steady climb and the team will really start to click. They're still playing good hockey, but there's definitely more there, which is kind of exciting to think about that, you know, this team could maybe only be getting started.
Yeah, it's a great point, Nick. I love the perspective on that, the way they've been playing. You watch them and it's like, hey, there's another gear there, but they're still finding a way to win games in different fashions, whether it be a shorthanded goal or great goaltending, a power play goal in the third period. They're finding ways and it's been a lot of fun. I can't wait to get there Saturday night. Before I let you go, the iPod was discontinued this week. What was the number one artist on your iPod?
Ooh, you know what? That's actually funny because I was in my car. I had my Kinect and actually came through his iPod, which is funny. So I guess my car didn't realize that news. I'd probably have to go back and say that's got to be some kind of country artist. Okay. Dierks Bentley, a Jason Aldean, kind of that new school, okay, you know, pop country. Will be one of the tops. Heck, if you want to go way back when, to my younger 2000s, Nick, it's probably something like a Britney Spears or an NSYNC or, you know, really, really playing those pop 2000s. So, yeah, RIP there then.
I love it, man. You're a Carolina boy, so the country music is allowed. Totally acceptable. We love it, and I look forward to seeing you in the cowboy hat on Saturday night. Hopefully they get a win on Friday. Either way, Saturday night at the VMC is going to be awesome. I'll stop by and say hi. Thanks for the time this morning, man. I appreciate it, and hey, I'll talk to you in like an hour and a half on the podcast.
Hey, that sounds great. Good hearing from you, Dirt. And maybe you can bring Sprague on to the next one, huh?
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.